Okay, let me begin. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehyeh Dvar. My grandmother always used to say, when you come to a house, ask for something to make a broch on. You leave the broch in the house when you make the broch. That's how you leave a broch in a house. So, I mean, I'll tell you something about, we talk about the internet issue, the whole technology issue. I saw a letter from the Rebbe. He wrote in the late 70s, early 80s, to a woman in Miami. And he writes to her that the Jewish people went through a new challenge and a crisis, so to speak, but a real new challenge when the walls of the ghetto fell. Because until there was the walls of the ghetto, the Jews were protected in their identity from the ghetto walls protected them. You weren't allowed into universities. There were certain professions that you couldn't go into. There were certain areas of countries, cities, major cities, that you only had to, if you only had a special permit to be able to live there. The Jews were restricted for certain areas to live in. All these things, although it was oppression, but it had its, the other side of the coin was, is that was what was protecting us in our identity. It was clearly Jewish. And they made you, the goy made you remember you're Jewish all the time with the restrictions. He says when the ghetto walls fell, when it fell, it was a new challenge for the Jewish people. Because here, universities are open for you, cities are open for you, it's freedom. And once there's freedom, who you are as a Jew has to be redone. It's the walls aren't going to make you be Jewish anymore. If the restrictions aren't going to make you Jewish, it's going to be something more of an inner strength, an inner identity. And just like the Rebbe said about that the ghetto walls brought a new challenge and a crisis, so to speak, to the Jewish people, what's happening right now, we don't even have any walls anymore of our homes. We don't have walls in our shuls. We don't have walls in our yeshivas. We don't have walls in our girls' schools and our seminars. Everything is transparent. There's no more protection of a house. You used to walk into the house, you close the door. The guy walks into yeshivas in the Beis Medrash, he's in Dal Adam Shel Halacha, we say. He's like, there's no more. All the gadgets that we have with all the technology, everything is transparent. So it's a completely new challenge. It's as major as the ghetto walls falling. That's the first thing we have to recognize. Because, I mean, there's another thing over here also. We understand it ourselves, that the values of the world are not our values. When I speak to people, I always tell people that you talk about assimilation. So you ask a person, what does assimilation mean? So they'll tell you, marrying out of the fold. And I say to them, it's not only that. We have today what's called assimilation of values. A person can be Jewish. He can be even religious. But his mindset is affected by the values of the world, that it changes what's primary and secondary in his life. And it's in all fields. I mean, it can express itself, for example, the sizes of our families. It's not in style today for a person to have big families. And people are affected by that. If you ask a lady, how many children you have, she's embarrassed. She knows she's going to be scoffed at and sinned. You know, I tell people I have 11 children. 11 children! You get that crazy reaction. And you have to live up, you have to stand up against cynicism, sarcasm, and scoffing and mocking. You know, the whole works. What do you do for a living? I'm a housewife. Middle ages. It's the same, she's doing the same thing Rabbi Friedman from Minnesota says that he was once asked at the university campus, what does your wife do for a living? She says, she went around the whole Minneapolis, St. Paul area, and she gathered together 16 homeless children, and she opened up a shelter. And she's a director of a shelter for homeless children. And they were all excited, you know. And he says, and you know who the parents that threw those kids out in the street? Myself and my wife. So he says, what happened? When the kids were on the street, and we brought them in, then it's great. Shelter, director, and everything. But when the children are from a house, and she's a mother of 16 children, and she's a director of a shelter, she's from the Middle Ages. That's called assimilation of values. we get affected by what's going on in the world. So we have to realize that the truth of the matter is this whole internet issue or the technology issue is we're talking about a new major challenge. We don't have any more walls in our homes and our yeshivas. We don't have walls. We have to be able to protect and to give our children and our families and ourselves enough of a strength and identity that we stand up to it. So, you know, there's different ways that the angle, how we look at it. And I have a guy in my community that he's, I was just sitting and talking to teenagers, girls in Eretz Yisrael in a seminary. They're finishing the year. And I was schmoozing with them. I said to him, I have a guy in my community, he's 7 months of the year in India. He has a Chabad house there. A real successful guy. I mean, he himself is a Baal Teshuva. And he himself, every year, he was bringing in between 20 and 30 guys into yeshivas, into Eretz Yisrael, and from families and everything. He was really doing a solid job. I mean, we're not talking about the hundreds that he touched other ways, but 20 to 30 guys he's able to show families today, guys that became from his. He's an expert. He was in a unit in the army in Israel, a survival unit. He's able to go out into the woods or into mountains, yeah, without anything, and he can survive for weeks just on what's going on. And he used to take guys into the woods and teach them how you survive in the worst conditions. So one of the things he does, where he is in his Chabad house, he takes guys on a trek into the Himalayas, just with basic bare necessities, and he's survival, and he's teaching them at the same time Torah. He's teaching, he calls it Kabbalah. He gives it all the names, and he has them for between 7 days and 10 days. It's a trek, and that's where he really makes the guys. Because he's got them for 7 to 10 days, completely focused. He says the last 4 or 5 years, he's down to maybe 3-4 guys becoming frum every year. Not the 20, 30 anymore. He says, what's the problem? He says, since these gadgets came out, he says, I take them to the Himalayas. They can't detach themselves. They can't focus. They're constantly connected, and they can't walk away from their. And he says, I can't get to them. They don't focus. They're completely lost. He says to me, this is the facts. So I was speaking to these teenage girls, and I said to them, you know what? It's not only an issue of Yiddishkeit. It's not only an issue of Ruchnius. It's an issue of Menschlichkeit. I said, I'm sitting over here. I was sitting there. There was about 25 girls. I said, I have my phone. I said, I pull out my phone, this one. And I say to them, we're sitting here now for an hour and a half. 45 calls I had over here. I show it to them. I said, I didn't answer one. You didn't hear it. Because I'm in control of the phone. It's not in control of me. You guys are sitting here, and while I'm talking to you, and I came especially, texting around, looking what's going on in your emails, the whole time, what he called, he says, you can't focus a minute what's going on over here. How do you expect to grow? How do you expect to be mentioned? How do you expect to be when you just can't focus anymore? It's not just an issue of Yiddishkeit anymore. It's an issue of self-control, and are you in control of your life, or you're letting all these gadgets be in control of you? And it's like that when it a lack of focus. I give shiurim and I have guys. I'm watching Balabatim while I'm giving the shiur. One's texting to the other, and I look at him and he smiles back. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I see what's going on, and all of a sudden the guy, you know, you see his eyes off the Gemara. He just got an email. It buzzed him. He's got to see what's going on. You know, the Rebbe once said that when a person has a shear, the telephone has to be like it's Shabbos. When you're in your house on Shabbos and the telephone rings, does it talk to you? It might annoy you that the guy has a wrong number. But do you even have any Havamina to pick it up? It doesn't exist. It's Shabbos.
I just finished my phone.
Huh? Yeah, I mean, Some of us can't allow that. I can't allow myself to, because sometimes there's a yonim of mamish of that I have to pikuch nefesh and things, whatever it is. But I mean, I can understand that. But I'm just saying, the Rebbe was saying, when you're in a shir, you're learning, you have a chavrusin. The phone rings. It's Shabbos. It's Shabbos right now. I'm in the middle of my shir. It doesn't exist. The issue over here is not only that we're being bombarded, we've lost our walls, we've lost our protection, it's also a matter of loss of focus, loss of control. We're becoming controlled by the technology. People tell me, you know, Rabbi, it's harder to get to you than the President of Israel. And I always joke back and I say to them, listen, buddies, you never try to get through to the President of Israel. Believe me, you won't get through to the President of Israel by just phoning him. With me, once in a while, you have luck. And then I said to him, and you have to understand something. I invite a person into my office for a meeting. And then you called. Why are you more important on the phone than the guy that made the appointment? What do you want me to do? In the middle of the appointment, start picking up phones? I have certain amount of hours that I'm willing to answer the phone, and then afterwards I can't. I have control of my life also. I have to learn, have to answer shilas, have to meet people. I have a certain level of control. And I told the girls, Chebra, it's a matter of control also. You got to learn how to control yourselves. You just can't let this go on. If you want to grow and be individuals that have a focus on something, you have to be able to be in control of what's going on in your lives, not the opposite way. The world doesn't care. The guys that are selling all the software and all the things, they want to be in control. But we have to know what we're up against. And this is like, if I say we're talking about the issue, this is an issue, excluding the other fact also, that we have to show to our own families and our children that we are living congruent lives with what we stand for. Because we have values, and because of that, there's nothing the matter. You know, there's the argument how to deal with this. Protect yourself, ban whatever you can, or educate, instill, inspire, teach the self-control. And I say that it's not a clear-cut answer. It's not this way or that way. It's both of them. The Torah tells us, Asu Sog LeTorah, make gates and make fences. Al Tivieno LeNisoyim, don't bring yourself to tests. Be careful. A person shouldn't put himself into Mokum Sakana. These are all things that, in other words, protect your environment. There's nothing the matter with a person saying, I mean, my kids know. Here, I've got this car. I don't have a browser. I don't have internet connection. I have email. I have text messages. But I don't have a browser on this. So if I'm more savvy, I could probably get around it. But my kids know. I have this without a browser. No internet connection. I only have it for emails and for text messages because I'm not interested. I don't need to be on the internet in my field. I need to be able to, people should be able to communicate with me. They have a shaila, they want to get in contact with me, so I have to have a phone. If I can't answer the phone, at least I'm getting a message, at least I'm getting an email, so I should be able to know what to answer. That's what I need it for. I don't need it for more than that, so my kids know I have made a controlled decision. I have come to the conclusion, it would be nice once in a while to know what's going on in the news. But I've decided that it's too much of a distractor. I don't need it. It's not here. And I talk about it with my kids. I talk with my kids, and I think it's important for us to talk with our families. To talk about the dangers. And to talk about that we don't even trust ourselves. And we look for ways how to protect ourselves when it comes to that. Of course we have to instill with them an identity, a strong chinuch. We have to make sure that Yiddishkeit is pleasurable in our homes because they're getting bombarded with pleasurable and enjoyable Olam Hazeh. So we have to make our homes pleasurable and enjoyable and our Yiddishkeit. We have to do things together as families of having fun. We have to be able to build our relationships with our children. I met a guy that he was a real ADHDer, a kid. You know, half the time he was in the halls in school. That was his, because of his ADHD. Ready, red-haired, gingy as we call him in Israel. Really, really hardcore. And he was, you know, like they say in America, they have baseball, it's going, it's gone, the ball. He was going. At the end of the day, his parents were smart. They realized they had to give him something else. They started, you know, they got him half day, he wasn't able to handle school whole day. So they got him a job in a greenhouse. They paid the guy the salary to pay the son. Every day he would finish school at 1:30 instead of till 4 or 5. And he would go 4 days a week to this greenhouse and work for the guy. He became an expert in plants and the whole animal, the whole mineral and everything, plants and things. And he felt good about himself. He was making a little bit of money. And he was working with this guy. And he had no idea his parents were really behind the scenes paying the guy the money. And they got him to excel in things that he was good in. He was like, he had a good chush in the gina. He knew how to sing. So they started teaching when he was already 11 and a half. They started to teach him trop, you know, timey mikra. And they taught him to be a balkoyer. And he got him a shul to lean in. And he would get up every Shabbos and get bit yashikoyers. And even though he was out in the hall half the time, but he was getting his confidence built from that. But he went very far because of his curiosity, because of the type he was. And I was sitting in one day. He became a top bocher yeshiva. From the top of the top. And I asked him one day, what kept you in? He was at a point where he told me, I wasn't going to be using drugs. He says, I was already at the point where I was going to be from the top sellers. That's how far my connections went. He says, you know what kept me in? My relationship with my parents. At the end of the day, I just couldn't do it for my father and my mother. He says, I had such a beautiful relationship with them. It was so much love, and also so much, I saw how much they believed in me, and how much time they invested in me, and how they helped me. And it was such a beautiful relationship. He says, I couldn't do it because of my parents. Bocher. Top Bocher. And I knew the kid from his young, he was in my community. He was mamish, I told you, ready to be a drug dealer. He couldn't do it because of his parents. The relationships that we have with our children, family relationships, building it is one of the ways that our children will identify with our values. And even though they might be curious and they'll taste here, taste there, but at the end of the day, if we have a good relationship with them, they relate to our values. And if we have a distance relationship with them, we don't take an interest in their life, we're not connected with their lives, we have to work on ourselves to be connected to their lives. When we come home at night, we have to take an interest in what they did during the day. We have to remember the things that they're doing. If a kid has a test, or he went on a trip, or whatever, when you come home, you have to be on target. How was the trip? Take an interest. Sit down. Hear about it. How was this? How was your test? You know that he's under pressure. It's his life. That's the center of his life. Or that's the center of her life. You take an interest. You have to be connected to them. You keep a connection. You have a relationship. That's one of the ways. But you also have to protect. There's nothing the matter with that. We're allowed to talk about that. We have to protect ourselves also. You're allowed to talk about it. Not only that, there's ways to protect. There's nothing the matter with having filters. And there's nothing the matter also with having, to have this webhover.com where you have somebody that gets reported all the time what you're onto. And if you're doing anything off, he knows what's going on. It's Ayin Roya, Oizen Shemas. What did Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai say to this Talmidim? Halavai Shem Oyer Shemayin, Kemoyer Bosev Adam. That you have somebody you know is keeping tabs on you. And you're talking about this Yetzirah. We're allowed to talk about that. Well, we don't have Yetzirahs. We're not allowed. I think the more we talk about how we're all human and we have Yetzirahs and we have to protect ourselves and I protect myself, our children will grow up and they'll understand that it's serious business and my father and my mother take life serious and they protect themselves and they want to protect themselves. That's how I feel about the... We see the power of the media. I always tell people that if there's anyone that knows what the power of influence on what technology is, in Lubavitch, we were on the frontier when this technology came out. We opened up our websites to get people through. And we have. And we have so much... So we know exactly how you can get into houses. But at the same time, because we know that, we also know the tremendous impact that it has on our families the opposite way. And we have to try our best to instill an understanding to our children. And there's another thing also. I mean, I can talk about my generation. One of the things that we always say, our generation, I was just telling it to Rabbi Serbransky, I haven't a clue what's going on. I don't understand what this Facebook is, Michal. Yeah, and we feel that by saying that, like, you know, I don't know what it means. Like, you know, we feel maybe we're off the hook. or like, you know, it's not my generation. And I say to parents, you don't have a clue? You better find out. Because your kids know exactly what's going on. And if you have no idea, then they're putting circles around you. And you have no idea what they're doing. At least you should be aware. Start learning. Find out. Take a shear what Facebook means. Find out everything about it. Learn the anthropological and sociological aspects of what Facebook is. I was once sitting at a conference in there. It's all Nefesh conference. It's all the mental health orthodox professionals. So they get this child psychiatrist from Long Island. He comes in and he gives a presentation or a workshop. It was about internet. It was a double presentation. So I went, a child psychiatrist. He says, I'm talking to you guys today, but I'm a chlal not today a child psychiatrist. I'm an anthropologist. I visited a new country that's called internet. And I want to tell you all about their culture, who the natives are, what they're involved in, what's the population growth, what's their economy. And he says, I want to educate you guys from my visit into the country of internet, which happens to be, almost the third largest country today in the world, with billions of people on it. He says, it's almost as big as China. You know, he starts learning. And then he starts going through one piece after the other. And there was things I didn't even know existed. He says, your kids, they know all this stuff. Maybe for some of you it's new, but your kids, they sniff it out and they're savvy and they know everything. And if you don't know what's going on, then you're in trouble because you have to at least know what's going on. We were talking about Facebook account. I said, what does it mean? What's the ramifications? What's the dangers? What are people doing? How they can hide things? If I want to be able to say to my child, okay, you can have a Facebook account, but you got to know what it means. You got to know what you're putting a loaded gun into their hands. You have to know how, what, when. Just because there's pressure, I got to learn what it means. You can't just allow these things to happen without knowing what it means. It's mummish like putting. It's like, you know, somebody, you'll give your child a car. He doesn't have a license. He doesn't know nothing. Drive. Just because, you know, all my friends have it. You know, the first thing is, I'm a responsible individual. I want to learn about it. I want to find out what it means. I want to know what the dangers are. I don't have it. I'm afraid. I want to find out what it means. You're allowed to say it, and you're allowed to talk about it. I think it's an awareness. We have to talk about it. And we have to use it, you know. I always joke and I say, where do you light your Hanukkah menorah? Some people light by the window to light up the street. Some people light it by the door across from the mezuzah. And now there's a new place where you can light your menorah. Next to the computer, or just put your iPhone right here and light it. The whole street is right here. You want to light up the street? It's right here in your hand. The whole street. That's what's going on. And you have to be able to know how to deal with it, understand it, learn about it. And it's our task, educate our children, talk about an awareness, and to protect them, and to talk to them about who we really are, what's our identity. It's we're going to have to face up to, we're Jewish, we have different values, we have to be proud about it, and we have to show our children how proud about who we are as Jews, and how great Yiddishkeit is. And this is a message that has to go over to our children in our own lives. And we have to work on making our Yiddishkeit pleasurable. There has to be in the house an enthusiasm. We just can't be doing our things cut and dry. Because the world is doing everything really pleasurable, dressing it, polishing it, making it enjoyable. And all of a sudden, comes to Yiddishkeit, you know, a blat gemara for a teenager, if we don't start working on it, it's much more exciting, this stuff, than a blat gemara. We have to work on it to make it more enjoyable and exciting. And we have to show our enthusiasm also. You know, I was talking about it. Our children like, everyone likes praise. Everyone likes a shot in the arm. Everyone likes when you give a word of appreciation and you show. So a child comes home and he does well on a test. So of course you say, no, I'm very proud of you. It's very nice. You're learning well. It's motivation, praising, motivation. But there's a lot of things that we just let pass by. I was talking for a group of women. We're talking about sneers, about dress, because, you know, also in dress world, also the fashions of the world today are not our Jewish fashion, especially a lot according to the laws of sneers. So I said, a little girl's growing up. The mother puts her on a nice dress. What's the reaction of everybody? Oh, you look so pretty. It's such a nice dress. It's such a nice color. You have such a nice flower in your hair or a band, whatever. That's standard. There's another thing we have to learn to do. You have such a sneezdika dress. Your elbows are covered. It's so nice. Your knees are covered. How is a child going to have an awareness of what sneez is a girl if they never get praised for it? How are they going to develop a desire to look modest if we don't praise them for that? We can do it. You don't even have to teach them in the Gemara. You don't have to teach them in the Shulchan Aruch. If when you come, they come, and day in and day out, you know how to be aware to give them the words of praise in the things of halacha. A child remembers every day to take his coin to give tzedakah. And you give him the praise every so often. You always remember to give your tzedakah. It's a gewaldige zach every day to do a mitzvah. That will give him the motivation to always remember because he gets the praise. You did great. The praise and all these things, you showed such self-control today. When you wanted to eat something and you check the hechsher, and you know, there's even families that they have a list on the wall called the self-control. It's called Ezeo Gibber. Anything that has to do with Akoivish Yitzroy, you know, you didn't fight with your brother, and you held yourself back, you shared, you were Koivish, and it's developing them and understanding what it means Akoivish Yitzroy. That you have impulses, that you spontaneous things that you want to do, that you control yourself not to show your temper, not to fly into, not to fight, and you recognize it, and you show that recognition, and you give that praise for it. Kids learn; they begin to understand what it means. That you have control, and you talk about the control, and you praise the control, and you recognize that control, because self-control begins to become issues when it comes to sibling rivalry, when it comes to your tivus for achila, you know, your desires, when it comes to your own possessiveness, sharing. There's all different concepts of self-control. And one of them is self-control is protecting yourself and controlling yourself from not doing wrong things or going into dangerous neighborhoods and dangerous areas. And we show recognition for that. It's maturity. We talked to them about maturity growing up means that you know how to have that control. And we recognize and we praise it. Day in and day out. And we show them. It becomes part of their lives. It gives them that motivation. And only that, it gives them that awareness. We need them to understand and to get an awareness what it means. A Yetzirah is an abstract thing. The more we can bring it down to earth, the different values, what it leads to, the problems, to talk about it. Nothing wrong with that. That's called the educational side. But at the same side also, I say, you know, there's another thing also, I mentioned it before. There's being yourself a good example of being sincere, of being genuine. When we show our children that we can have double standards, when we show them that we have things that we compromise on, they pick up the compromise. And then what happens is, they say to themselves, well, if dad can round his corners this way, or ma, then I can round my corners the way I want. They pick which corners to round. And we have an expression in Chazal, Yofa koyach ben, yoyser mi koyach av. But where's it coming from? From the koyach av. It's coming from the father, that the Yofa koyach ben. So in other words, our own genuinity, our own sincerity, the way we take our Yiddishkeit serious and the way we show an example is also very, very important. It's a lesson for our kids. There's an expression that we say, Maisa Ovis Simin Labonim. Usually it goes on Avram Mitzvah and Yankiv and Sarif Kurachovale. But we're all Ovis. We're all parents. And Maisa Ovis is Simin Labonim. We also have to show an example of for our children. Our sincerity, our genuinity. kids pick it up and they know, do we really, does it really count? Or we do things to round corners also. Whether it's coming to sometimes in kashrus where we're not strong enough, or when it comes to different other issues. This is all, in other words, I say, as I started, the challenges have now become much greater because our walls are transparent. We have to build more inside, in our homes, a greater identity, and also to recognize what we're up against, because we have an identity crisis because we don't have those protective forces that we had in the past. And it's here. I remember this child psychiatrist, this anthropologist that visited the internet country. He showed us on the board. He had slides. So he showed an automobile from 1908 or 1912 or something, whatever it was. And he said it was invented in this year. And then he shows a picture of about 1923 or something. And he says there was about 12 million cars in the United States at the time. Then he shows super highways that are verging and everything in about 20 years ago, or 15, 20 years ago. And he says, our lives changed from the automobile, that we went out of the inner city, people are living in the suburbs, people are traveling. The whole way the world changed from a little automobile, the car changed our lives. We commute, we have supermarkets, we don't have any more local groceries, and all the kind of stuff. He says, everything changed because of the car. And he says, and this happened from about 1908 till now, wherever. He says, and then he showed us the internet. He says, and my fellows, he says, what this is going to do to us is going to make the automobile look small. It's changing our lives. It's a completely different culture, a completely different society. We have to recognize it, and we have to be in control, and not it should be controlling us. Anything new? To find out. I have a son-in-law that he teaches in yeshiva. He's a mashgiach in yeshiva. He tells me, on these iPhones, he says, a mashgiach, says a Rosh Yeshiva, can take an iPhone, check it out. It's clean. He says, and there's what's called a program today, I forgot its name right now. It has a name for it also, like, you know, high, it's called like an eye hidden or something like that. It has a name. Where you put it in, it's a software, where it hides all the information and it makes it look like, you know, kosher v'yosher. And if you don't know about it, you'll never know how to get into it. And it was made, you know, it was made, the world made it. It's for all, it's for all the people that are cheating on their spouses so that they shouldn't be able to check. So it's a whole software that completely, and then they've got one tricky that you can get in and you think you found the inside, but it's got a double layer. They got that too. And he says, and somebody ticked me off. In one of the boys in yeshiva ticked me off about it. He says, I studied it up. He says, and then I took a couple of iPhones from Bochum. He says, and I found. He says, it was there. He says, and no Rosh Hashiva or Mashgiach that understands, he would take the thing, and if he thinks he understands what's going on up here, everything is clean. There's a lot more going on. We must learn about what's going on. I know it's not so simple, especially those that are not technically savvy, but we got to learn about it. You know, these kids walking in with the little discount key, the UBS is in, and they're turning around circles, and their parents have no idea. My age, I've got a kid. One of my youngest son, he just turned 11. Today's his birthday, actually. He turns around circles around me. I know, I got to be on top of it. I speak to my other children. You know what's going on? Tell me, fill me in. But I try my best to have a good relationship with him. I try my best to be connected to his life, and I try my best to instill in him what's right and what's wrong, and to talk to him about it and about self control, like I just said. And I hope that in Eretz Yisrael, we came out to the public to the Chabad public. We said to him, fellows, if you don't need it, just keep it out of the house. Keep it in the office. If you need it, make sure. And it's sold as a number of, we have internet Rimon, which has a higher level called Esrig, Etrog, which is a very filtered internet. And it has the ability that if you need to get into things, you can lower the standard if you're having difficulty. But it has a certain standard at the bottom that you can't break. So a lot of people are hooked up to that internet. We have other kinds of things. And we told everybody, you need a parnosa, speak to a rov, keep your computer in public, don't have it in a private space. If your children are on it, you can always see what they're doing. No privacy. And also, the Rebbe once said, Nachshon ben Aminodov was the first one in. But that's for Kedusha. We don't have to be the Nachshon ben Aminodovs when it comes to technology. Or when it comes to fashion. We'll be in there later. We'll let the other ones jump in first. And we'll stat back and learn a little about what's going on before we jump in. Let us be a little bit more protective about our lives. And take control of our lives instead of letting the world take control of us. That's my take on what's going on. It's not easy. There's no miraculous cures. This is life. This is what's going on. The walls are down. Everything is transparent. But, you know, even the Goyim today recognize the dangers. Even the Goyim understand what's happening. And because of that, they're coming up with things also, filters and things like that. They realize that. And they realize the dangers of chat, and they realize the dangers in the Facebook and so on and so forth. So we have people that are allies that are trying to protect their families too and come up with things to be able to live with it and at the same time learn to live with it and also to protect ourselves from the dangers that are involved with it. And, you know, when people tell me, grow up, you used to go on a horse and buggy and now there's jets and planes, grow up in this house, I say, I'm growing up, believe me, but at the same time, I will not get on a plane if the guy doesn't have a good license to drive to fly it. And I will not deal with technology without trying to understand it and also trying to protect my families from the dangers of it also. There's nothing the matter of being conservative when it comes to this and being cautious. It's only being careful about the things that are precious to you.